The Curve with Michelle Martin and Bernard Lim replay from Money FM 89.3.
Just up the road in KL, the FTSE Bursa Malaysia did better than Singapore, but still in the red. It's off 0.33% to 1790. I spoke earlier with Azure Capital CEO Terence Wong. He says that some Malaysian companies could benefit from the escalating trade tensions between the U.S. and China.
The Malaysian market was weak last month, and leading on to this month, I think it's come off a lot of political pressures and people are worried generally of Malaysia. But if you recall, some 2 months back on this program, we spoke about looking at export-driven names. Those companies have done very, very well. Companies like MI Equipment, MyEG, as well as Inari, all of them have bounced up very, very nicely. We are now looking at another tech-driven name in QES. It is a distributor as well as manufacturer for inspection, test, measuring equipment for the semiconductor industry.
Terence, as you mentioned, you're keen on companies in Malaysia whose business is export-driven. What particularly is it about QES's business that attracts you, that makes you think it's a good buy?
Well, currently 80% of its business comes from the distribution side and 20% from manufacturing. Manufacturing is supposed to give you very fat margins, unlike the distribution side. So we can see QES actually shifting towards the manufacturing side of the business. Currently, its net margins is only 8% and its competitors are going at about 25%. We believe that with this shift, they will actually improve the margins dramatically and we're going to see a spike in the earnings. This company was just listed in March. And you'll be utilizing a lot of its IPO proceeds into the manufacturing side of the business. And I think that this trade war, you know, a lot of people are talking about trade war and how it affects manufacturers. I believe that this trade war will benefit QES because now the American end customers are going direct to the Malaysians instead of going through the contract manufacturers in China. So this should reap benefits for companies like QES.
Well, it looks like you're not the only person who likes this company. It was trading pretty much at a low for the first several months. But since August, its share price has jumped from 0.19 ringgit to currently around 0.35, 0.36. That's like a 75, 80% jump in its share price.
Yeah, we think that there's still a lot more room for growth in this company and it should be kept on the watch list of investors that are keen on the Malaysian market.
Higher U.S. bond yields have triggered a sell-off across Asia and Europe today. The yield on the 10-year Treasury note hit its highest level in 7 years overnight, 3.18%. Rising U.S. bond yields and a strong dollar are bad news for emerging market currencies. India's rupee hit a new record low against the U.S. dollar, 73.77. For those of you wondering, how's the Singapore dollar doing? It's currently trading at 1.38 to the greenback. Turning to the stock markets now, Singapore's blue chips gave back yesterday's gains. The Straits Times index finished down 1.1% at 32.31. I spoke earlier with Azure Capital CEO Terence Wong. He says we should expect more volatile times ahead for local stock.
It looks like October is starting to be a little bit volatile, which is not unexpected. And if you look at some of the data that's coming out, US is very, very strong economically. And that has traditionally been a worry for the market because that means that rates will be hiked. And if you look at the 10-year treasuries, which is a bellwether, it has spiked. And that, I think, will be one of the key challenges for the market. But over in Singapore, there are some interesting developments, particularly perked by Keppel Corp last week after it made a privatization offers for both M1 as well as Keppel T&T. And I think all eyes are on potential takeover targets right now.
Terence, you bring up a couple of interesting points there. Let's start with the yields on Treasury notes. They hit a 7-year high overnight of 3.18, currently a bit off that, but still a pretty high at 3.16%. You also mentioned privatizations taking place in the local market. Let's start with those rising yields on the 10-year bond in the States. What impact do you see that having on Singapore stocks?
Well, whenever the yield starts to rise, there's an inverse relationship in theory, but it may not happen in the immediate future. But I guess as the rates continue to rise, the propensity for the markets to feel the pressure will be there.
So basically, we could be seeing more people switch their money out of stocks, put it into the U.S., into bonds.
Yeah, that's correct.
Let's talk then about the privatizations. There have been a couple of high-profile ones in the news. Wheelock Properties just went private. We know that M1 could go private if an offer by Keppel and SPH goes through. Keppel's also privatizing Keppel T&T. Are there other companies out there that investors think are potential targets now for privatization as well?
Well, there have been some media reports and some analyst reports talking about some of the property names like Hobie as well as Wing Thai, where they are very, very tightly controlled off-site names. some of the Chinese companies that are state-run, like Tianjin Zhongxin, CITIC Envirotech, which again is very, very tightly held. I think the main shareholders, which are essentially led by the government of China, they own over 70% of the company. These are, I guess, low-hanging fruits for them.
So Terence, if you're an investor who believes that one of these companies could be privatized, then you would buy their shares in the hopes of getting a higher offer price, right?
No, I think the main basis would really be looking at the fundamentals of the company. If you are comfortable with the fundamentals, you think the future is bright, management is great, those are the basic building blocks, and these are the first things you need to look at. As for potential privatization, that will really be the sweetener.
All right. Thank you so much. We've been speaking with Terence Wong. He is the CEO of Azure Capital.